The following message is presented by First Baptist Church in Manny, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.fbcmany.org. Now the message.
Good morning. I was sharing with a few of you as I came in and met you that I am from DeVille, Louisiana. I think it's easier for me to say Pineville or Alexandria. But when I came to the convention 3 years ago, I kind of developed a routine that I would gauge my preaching time according to the amount of time that it takes me to drive somewhere, Mike. So I drove about an hour and a half. Is that okay with everybody? No, I do work for the Louisiana Baptist Convention. My title is Director of Pastoral Ministries. And so I get to travel the state, get to preach in different churches almost every Sunday, get to do interim work like Brother Mark is doing here at First Baptist Manny. And I love what I get to do. I'm traveling, I've never been before, to some places that I can't pronounce. I'm learning kind of the Louisiana language and just really love what I get to do. I get to encourage pastors. I get to pray with pastors. I get to lead pastors as necessary. I get to work with music ministers and deacons, do interims. So I work with pastor search committees and just a variety of things. I've been in the ministry for over 30 years, and the last 3 years as the serving at the Louisiana Baptist Convention as the Director of Pastoral Leadership. And so I want to thank you as a church for your participation, for your partnership in the cooperative program. Through that work, we're able to have our Tall Timbers Camp, which this year hosted children's and missions and youth camps, and we're being told that that we had high attendance at each of those camps. Some were even turned away because we just had the maximum there at those camps, and children who were saved, young people who are dedicating their lives to the ministry, the gospel that Jesus is calling them to do. And so that, again, is part of the cooperative program that we do, as well as Louisiana Christian University that we're a part of, Louisiana Baptist Children's Home. There are many disaster relief work that's going on in our state and out of our state because of tornadoes and floods and fires, and all of that stuff, again, is possible through the churches in our state who participate through the cooperative program. So thank you. Thank you, thank you for that work and that participation that you are given. Well, let me invite you to open your Bibles to the book of Psalm. Psalm 42, and just a few moments, we'll be looking at the first five verses of that psalm. I was remembering a story of a young father who had just put his toddler boy to bed. And the boy hadn't been in his bed very long, and he called out from the bedroom, and he said, "Dad, can I have a drink of water?" To which the father said, "No, son, you need to go to sleep." Well, a few minutes passed, and the boy called out again. He said, "Dad, can I please have a drink of water?" To the father said, "No, son, I told you, you need to go to sleep. Now, if you ask me again, I'm going to come in there and spank you." Well, a few minutes more passed, and the boy nervously called out, "Dad, when you come in here and spank me, would you bring me a glass of water?" I like that story for many reasons, but it reminds me that here we are in Louisiana. Here we are in early August, but we realize that all through the summer that we have some extreme high temperatures. Now, nothing like we experienced last year, right? With the drought and the high temperatures and all that were a part of that. But yet still, here in Louisiana, with the high temperatures and certainly with the high humidity, If we're outside for any length of time, we begin to realize that we need something to drink. Maybe we're out there working in our garden, or maybe we're out there cutting the grass, or maybe we're out there for some kind of a sport event, or maybe we're out on the lake and enjoying some fishing or something like that, and or maybe we're out there working because that's our job, that's our occupation. And we're not out there very long before we realize that we are becoming dehydrated, that we need something to drink. And so we look for that water, we look for that cool refreshment, if you would, in order to quench our physical thirst. Well, this morning, I want to talk to you about being spiritually dehydrated. The importance of you and I making sure that we receive spiritually the thirst that only God can give us. And I believe Psalm 42 speaks to us on that subject. The need to thirst for God and to realize only God can satisfy that quench spiritually. And so as we look here in Psalm 42, I want you to follow along in your translation of God's Word, Psalm 42, verse 1. As the deer longs for flowing streams, so I long for you, God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while all day long people say to me, where is your God? I remember this as I pour out my heart, how I walked with many, leading the festive procession to the house of God with joyful and thankful shouts. Why, my soul, are you so dejected? Why are you in such turmoil? Put your hope in God, for I will still praise Him, my Savior and my God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, how we thank you so much for this day. Lord, we thank you that we have a place in which we can worship you. We thank you that we have songs in which we can lift our voices and declare your greatness and your goodness in our lives. And so, Father, we also want to thank you for your word. And Father, we pray that you would help us to receive it this morning. Lord, I pray that our spiritual ears, our spiritual heart, our physical ears would all be open to receive your word. Father, I pray personally that the meditations of my heart and the words of my mouth will be acceptable in your sight. Father, I pray that maybe where my words are short or maybe my words are empty to the hearer, that your Holy Spirit would be our master teacher, would divide truth into the heart of every person here today. For those who are watching today or maybe later through the live stream, Lord, teach us through your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, there is some, I would call, mild disagreement on who the author of Psalm 42 is. Some immediately would say, well, David is the author of Psalm 42. Others would say that perhaps it's King Hezekiah. And still, there were others that would say it was written by an unknown author, but all would agree over the fact that it's probably someone who wrote this book either during the exile period, or this chapter, during this exile period, or moving close to the end of the exile period. Now remember again, in the Old Testament, the Jews, the believers, had to go to the temple in order to worship God. they believed, they were taught, that God's presence was only held or confined in a certain place in the temple. Only until the New Testament are believers like you and I able to worship God any place, anytime, anywhere. That's why across our state this morning, out of the 1,550 Louisiana Southern Baptist churches, we have worship services at 8 o'clock. We have them at 8:30, 9 o'clock, 9:30, 9:45, 10 o'clock, 10:30, 10:45, 11. Those are the ones that I'm familiar with. But we have them meeting at all different times because we believe that we can worship God at any place and at any time. So, we may not agree on who the author of Psalm 42 is. We must believe that there are certain things that are revealed in Psalm 42 that we can agree on. For instance, notice here back in verse number 4, where I would call the past. The author is looking in his past and he says here, I remember. And then he says, how I walked. And in other words, the past language here. He used to remember a time when he used to go to the house of God. So he's looking in his past, if you would. But also notice in verse number 2, the present. He said, I thirst for God. I thirst for the living God. When can I come and appear before God? He's thinking about the present. He's thinking about those days in which he is in exile, but he longs for the time in which he can return physically to the house of God so that he can worship God, worship him. And then notice in verse 5, what I call the future, where he says, I put my hope in God, for I will still praise him, my Savior and my God. In other words, he looks at his past and he remembers those days. He remembers those moments in which he went to the temple so that he could worship God. He begins to think about his present situation, the condition that he is in, and he longs as he looks to the future that there will be a day in which he can return to the house of God so that he can worship God. So again, here's the practical teaching of this metaphor. David, or who the author might be, I tend to think that it is David, would say that there was this deer that had been running for miles and miles and miles, perhaps escaping an enemy. And at this point of the juncture, at this point of him running, I suppose we might describe it like this. He is near deer dehydration. Maybe his tongue is even hanging out. And he's longing, he's desiring for flowing streams of water in order to quench his physical thirst. And the application would be that you and I would desire God and only God, his living word, so that he can quench our physical thirst. So this morning, I want to speak to you about thirsting for God. Thirsting for God. What will it take for you and I as believers to only desire God and the things of God? Well, there's two things that I believe that this psalm teaches us, and the first one is this. Thirsting for God requires a sincere yearning, a sincere desire for God. Now, think with me for a moment about things that we desire, what I would call in the physical world. And for Baptists, I think the easiest subject for us to talk about and to identify with is the food subject. Amen? That most of us are very familiar with that. Now, I've shared with a few of y'all, and Mike has already shared. I'm from Oklahoma. I've been in Louisiana for 20 years, but I'm just going to tell you, I'm from Oklahoma, and I love Oklahoma. I love Louisiana, and I'm learning to love more about Louisiana, but I am from Oklahoma. And there's a place, there's a restaurant in Oklahoma City called Del Rancho. And Del Rancho serves a chicken fried steak, smashed potatoes, and white gravy. And I love chicken fried steak. I yearn for a good chicken fried steak. And as often as we can, when we go back to visit some of our family, we'll eat at Del Rancho, and they'll take that chicken fried steak, and it's about that big. It kind of hangs over on the plate, and then with the mashed potatoes, and I ask them just to take as much of that white gravy and just smear it all over that steak and all over that gravy. And I just sit there, and I enjoy it. Now, maybe some of you can't identify with a food that you yearn for. Maybe there's some other object. Maybe there's a particular automobile that you have wanted. Maybe it's a pickup truck. Maybe it's an SUV. Maybe it's just a new vehicle to you. Maybe it's a new boat or some kind of fishing tackle and gear. Or maybe it's some kind of a dream vacation that you want to go on. Here's the thought. Whatever it is, you begin to think about that object. You begin to think about that place. You begin to think about that person so much that it consumes your thinking. That it occupies all of your time. And you begin to think that the only way that you can get true satisfaction is to have that object. To have that food. To have that person. Even to the point, like me, of driving hundreds of miles to get a good chicken fried steak. Now take that object. Take that person, take that thing, and bring it into your spiritual life. Spiritual matters. And let me ask these penetrating questions. Is there anything that you have just identified that is keeping you away from God? Is there any object? Is there any person, is there anything standing between you and God and keeping you from desiring Him above all other things? As you are the object of His affection, is He your only affection? Do you have a sincere hunger and thirst to seek after the things of God, such as holiness and righteousness? Do you desire in your own life that you would decrease so that Christ would increase? And some of you may say, well, I go to church every week. I read my Bible on occasion. I even pray over my meals. I want you to listen very carefully to this. Because if we're not careful, we will begin to assume that just enough of a good thing is good enough. Let me say that again. If we're not careful, we will begin to assume as believers that just enough of a good thing is good enough. In other words, that maybe we can get enough of God. Or that perhaps even we can get overloaded spiritually and maybe we need to take a break. And I want to say to every one of us here today, including myself, be very, very Because if that is your attitude, you will never, never, never have a sincere yearning, a desire for God. And here's the reason. The reason is, until you are desperate, until you are dehydrated for only God, you will always, always allow other things to take the place of God. I humbly profess myself to be one who can't get enough of God. I'm not a religious nut. I've just been with Him long enough that every day I fall more and more in love with Him. And I want more of Him. Since I started for the kingdom, since my life He controls, since I gave my heart to Jesus, the longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. The more that I love Him, more love He bestows. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. All I'm trying to say here is that it's normal for every believer to desire more and more and more of God. And it's abnormal for a believer to feel as if he or she has reached this place spiritually, and therefore he or she only needs God one Sunday a month. I'm not a religious nut. I'm not some kind of a saint by any means. I'm just crazy about someone who was crazy about me first. This yearning, this desire is required if you and I as believers are going to thirst after God. But secondly, I want you to notice that thirsting for God requires a sign of abandonment. In other words, if you and I are going to declare, if we are going to make God number one as we should, then it's going to require us to give up something. It's going to require us to give up maybe some things. Write down this verse of Scripture, if you would. Matthew 22, verse 37. Where God is telling us through His Son Jesus that we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, and with all of our soul. Again, that is teaching me that loving God, thirsting for God, is more than just kind of meant for a Lent season. It's more than just kind of a seasonal activity. It's more than just kind of a New Year's resolution. But to truly thirst after God, to sincerely yearn for Him, requires us to say that we are going to love God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, and with all of our soul. To abandon that person, to abandon that object that is standing in the way from keeping us desperately longing after God. More than food, more than a hobby, more than a job, more than the internet or some kind of recreational event, more than social media. And so let me talk to you about three areas of abandonment. Three areas of abandonment that I believe keep us from thirsting after God. But if we will deal with them in the right way, it will move us. It will progress us in the right direction that we would say that we love God with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind. First of all, abandonment compels us to deny self. Another verse of Scripture that you might write down is Luke 9:23. Jesus, again, is saying here that if you are going to come after me, if you're going to follow me, then you must deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow after me. Jesus is teaching here that for you and I to desire God, we must deny ourselves. We must put away our wants. We must put away our schedules. We must put away our likes and say that we are only going to look to God and we are only going to follow God. I believe also during this transition period, as you as a church are searching for your next pastor, that Luke 9:23 is a great verse to be praying every day. That each of you would say, it's not about me, it's about God. It's not the kind of pastor that I want, but it's the kind of pastor that our church needs. It's not the kind of pastor that I would desire, but it's the kind of pastor that our community, our city needs. That we would deny ourselves. Put God number one and to say, God, all I know is that we need a pastor. And I'm praying for our pastor search committee. I'm praying for our church that we would put self aside. We would put you as number one and we would only seek your will. And therefore, God, as you reveal that, you will bring our next pastor. You will bring our next shepherd. For you and I, to thirst after God compels us to abandon self, to deny self, and to only look to God and what He is interested in doing. But there's a second thing here, and that is abandonment, or thirsting for God, actually compels us to, catch up with my notes here, to grieve over our sins. Thirsting for God compels us to grieve over our sins. I want to go back into the Old Testament and remind us that in the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah hears this report from his brother about all the destruction, all the despair that had taken place from the exile in his hometown, Jerusalem. And Nehemiah is thinking about his own friends that are still there. He's thinking about his family that are still there. And in Nehemiah, as God used him to rebuild that wall around the city before he gets there, in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 4, the Bible says that Nehemiah sat down, wept, mourned, prayed, and fasted before God. Now, I don't know that this is necessarily an identical situation, but as I think back upon the people who were moved out from exile, there was a reason for that, and a part of that reason was because of their disobedience, because of their sin. And Nehemiah perhaps is reflecting. He's looking back and he's thinking of those days and he's thinking about his people and he begins to weep, to mourn, to grieve, to pray, and to fast. I want to be very careful here Maybe Mark will never invite me back here again. I don't think that we need to get overly emotional about things. But I do believe that sometimes it's necessary to weep and to groan over sin. That you and I would look at our own lives and to see ourselves as sinners saved by the grace of God, and therefore recognize His holiness, recognize His righteousness. And as we think about our sin, and especially our habitual sin, as we think about the things that keeps us from pursuing God, from thirsting only after Him, at some point it ought to break our hearts. At some point it ought to grieve us. That we would be moved to a place where we would truly mourn. And again, I'm not saying that we have to get all emotional about this, but every once in a while it does me good to shed a tear. As I think about my sin, and as I think about my Savior Jesus Christ dying, being crucified on a cross. You see, thirsting for God compels us to grieve over our sin. But there's a third thing, and certainly a better thing that I notice here, and I find it here in verse number four, that thirsting for God compels us to a life of joy. Notice what he says here in verse four. I remember this as I poured out my heart, how I walked with many, and then he says, leading the festive procession to the house of God with joyful and thankful shouts. Again, the psalmist is being reminded of the days in which he went to the house of God. He's reminding himself of that one day future, that expectation, that anticipation, that he would be able to return to the house of God so that he could worship God, so that he could celebrate the goodness of God. The psalmist had this excitement. He had this expectation that when he returned to the house of God, he would celebrate God. First Baptist Church, Manny. This is Sunday, August the 4th, 2024. And I have this question. What is your heart's attitude on Sunday morning when you think about coming to this house of God? Is there excitement or restlessness? Is there enthusiasm or hesitation? Is there joy or is there sadness? When you walk into this house of God, do you feel the presence of God? Is there joy in your heart? And is there a sense of anticipation that God is going to do something great, something supernatural, something incredible in your life and in the life of this church? If not, then maybe it is that you desire other things. You desire other things that are more important than God. The Scripture teaches that we are to love the Lord our God with all of our hearts, all of our soul, all of our mind. Thirsting for God requires us to have this yearning, this desire for only God. It requires us to have the sign of abandonment to make Him number one. Let me close with another story. But this time we move from the extreme heat to the extreme cold. All right? So it was May of 2012. Standing on the tallest mountain in the world were two men. One an Israeli and one an American of Turkish origin. They had great expectations of summiting Mount Everest. They had met prior to the climb and established a very close friendship with one another. A friendship that would stand in direct tension and opposition of the two countries that they were there representing. Today, one has the distinct honor of summiting that great mountain, and the other proudly displays the Israel's Presidential Medal of Honor. As these two men were pursuing their lifelong dream of summiting that mountain, so it would be that hundreds of others would choose the same day to do the same thing. At a strategic place on the mountain and at a chaotic period, over 200 people were gathered there, which caused a human traffic jam, which then caused four people to lose their lives, mostly because of the immediate weather deterioration that took place on that level of the mountain. Aiden, wake up. Aiden, wake up, said Ben Yehuda, the man from Israel. Aiden had managed to summit the mountain and was on his way back down. And there at that elevation, as Yehuda was making his way up, saw his friend. He picked him up. He put him on his shoulder. And he carried him down to a lower elevation where he could receive enough oxygen, and the article reported that both of them had received severe frostbite but had recovered remarkably from that climb. In an interview that I was reading in this article here, following the rescue, Ben Yehuda gave this response. He said this, "My decision to abandon the goal of reaching the top and helping my friend Aiden was automatic." I need to say that again. My decision of abandoning my goal of reaching the top of summiting Mount Everest, instead to turn and help my friend, was automatic. Now here was a young man from Israel, probably would have been the youngest man from Israel to summit that mountain. Someone who had been training for years to fulfill this lifelong dream and was within 300 yards himself of summoning this mountain. And his response was, it was automatic to forget about that goal and to help my friend. As the deer pants and longs for flowing streams of water, so it is that I long for God. God, help us all that any time that object, that person, that thing stands in the way from you and I thirsting after God, from always making Him number one, it will be automatic that we abandon it. That we would say, regardless of how I feel, regardless of what I want to do, regardless of what others are going to say, I am going to pursue only God. That I am going to only thirst for God. And whatever stands in the way, whatever keeps us from fulfilling that goal, we would automatically abandon it. That we would turn from it. We would ignore it. We would not pay attention to it. But we would only seek after the things of God. May it be for all of us that when we reach that place, when we find ourselves in that difficult position, if you would, that we would abandon anything and everything that stands in the way from us declaring that we are going to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, and with all of our soul. Would you bow your heads as we turn to our time of invitation? A very appropriate song Mike has chosen for us today, where we're going to sing, "Change My Heart, O God." Again, this message, as I think about it, is primarily directed or devoted to believers. It's a challenge for us to use this response time to pray and just to ask God, "God, is there anything standing in my way of completely following You? Is there a sin? Is there a hobby? Is there an attitude that is keeping you or I from pursuing the things of God and only thirsting for Him?" And as God reveals, perhaps in your heart, what that might be, would you confess? Would you grieve? Would you mourn? And then will you move forward and experience the joy of that sin being forgiven and a restored relationship with Christ Jesus? But maybe you're here this morning and maybe God's Spirit has revealed to you that you're not yet a Christian. You're not yet a believer. You don't have the assurance that when you leave this earth that you're going to spend your eternity in heaven with God. In just a moment, I'll ask you to stand. And if you're not sure about that, if you've never made that decision, I'm going to invite you to come here to the front. I would love to share with you from the Scripture how you can know that you know that you know that you are a Christian. Maybe other decisions that could and should be made this morning. Maybe using this front area to kneel and to pray. However God leads, you follow. Father in heaven, Lord, how we thank You for Your word. Lord, we thank You for the good parts. We thank You for the hard parts. We thank You for the challenge and even the conviction that it brings to us at times. Father, help us all to be faithful, to be obedient. to turn and to do that which you need us to do. And we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by First Baptist Church in Manny, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, go to the website www.fbcmany.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.